Society is a contract. It's a contract that we sign as human beings amongst each other. We sign a contract with each other as people, whether it's spoken or unspoken, and we say, amongst this group of us, we agree in common rules, common ideals, and common practices that are going to define us as a group. That's what I think a society is. It's a contract. And as with most contracts, the contract is only as strong as the people who are abiding by it. But if you think of being a black person in America who is living in Minneapolis or Minnesota or any place where you're not having a good time, ask yourself this question when you watch those people. What vested interest do they have in maintaining the contract? Why don't we all loot? Because we've agreed on things. There are so many people who are starving out there. There's so many people who don't have. There's so many people. There are people who are destitute. There are people who, when the virus hits, and they don't have a second paycheck, already broke, which is insane, but that's the reality. But still, think about how many people who don't have, the have-nots, say, you know what, I'm still gonna play by the rules even though I have nothing, because I still wish for this society to work and exist. And then some members of that society, namely Black American people, watch time and time again how the contract that they have signed with society is not being honored by the society that has forced them to sign it with them. When you watch Ahmaud Arbery being shot and you hear that those men have been released, and were it not for the video and the outrage, those people would be living their lives, what part of the contract is that in society? When you see George Floyd on the ground and you see a man losing his life in a way that no person should ever have to lose their life at the hands of someone who's supposed to enforce the law, what part of the contract is that? And a lot of people say, well, what good does this do? Yeah, but what good doesn't it do? That's the question people don't ask the other way around. What good does it do to loot Target? What is it? How does it help you to loot Target? Yeah, but how does it help you to not loot Target? Answer that question.
There are definitely stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men. And there's mythologies and stories that have been woven around black women as always being caregivers and always taking care of everybody, because we literally have taken care of the world. Maya Angelou said something pretty harsh in the 70s on an interview, and she said, you know, black women have literally nursed this country. We nursed literally at our breasts white men who we knew then would grow up and kill our sons. And for me, that right there is in a very painful heart to hear nutshell is life for black women in this country.
I think that just the construct of racism is based in an ideology of insanity to think that a class and color of people are superior than another race of people, right? To be black in America, as James Baldwin said, and I'm paraphrasing, is almost to be in a constant state of rage. I remember in Harlem, the riots and uprising after Martin Luther King was assassinated, right? And that memory sticks in my head. There was a Woolworths on 116th Street and Lenox Avenue, and being able to look out the window and seeing people running in and out of the Woolworths, right? And so I don't think that it's insane to still be having this conversation today, because I think that we live in a system that is designed to perpetuate the conversation and to perpetuate the oppression of black and brown and poor people. And until we reconcile and disrupt that system and that ideology, we're gonna still be having the same issues. Just as people think that, you know, in order for you to win, I have to lose, right? And I just think that that's just the equation and the way the system has been designed in the United States. And right, this summer, we are celebrating in Hampton Beach 400 years since the first enslaved Africans were thrown to the shores, right? So here we are 400 years in. And yes, on one hand, there has been progress, but at the end of the day, Black and brown people are still oppressed.
We report again tonight on the fatal shooting of Ahmaud Arbery. This case is perhaps a sign of the times.
Travis McMichael and his father, Greg, a former police officer, are charged with murdering 25-year-old Ahmaud Arbery, seen here being killed in the street on February 23rd in Brunswick, Georgia.
So much of our work is about shifting the narrative and focusing on the assets and potential and possibilities of Black men and boys and Black community.
We're going to begin with breaking news tonight out of Minneapolis, where the National Guard is being mobilized after violent protests erupted overnight over the death of George Floyd.
In my neighborhood, it was just all Black people, and so our only interaction with white people were the police. And when they would see us, like, they would pat us down. It wasn't like nice. It wasn't like they wouldn't ask us how our day was. And so we grew up this way. And then when stuff would happen in our neighborhood, like say it was a shooting or something like that, and like folks or like neighbors would call the police, it'd take them like 35 minutes to get there, 20 minutes. Or maybe sometimes they didn't even show up. And so this was our relationship with them growing up. And so it's just like naturally, like, and then we see people on TV getting shot by police like all the time. And so it's just something that's like, it's a survival mechanism to just be like, you know, wary of the police.
Black men are among the most entrepreneurial, creative, and artistic people on this planet. And because many of the systems we are thrust into are ones that are not optimized for us, or they're systems where we don't always fit in, Black men are often disregarded as just being, you know, a bunch of lawless criminal people who are just, you know, who don't know how to live orderly lives or don't care to live orderly lives, that were uncouth and that were uncontrollable, that were wild. And I think that's a misunderstanding. I think there's something in the spirit of Black men that is made to be nonconformist, that is made to be a rebel in the most awesome of ways. And I think, you know, when we look at criminal statistics, for instance, and we make generalized observations about Black men, I think it's easy to look at that on the surface and say, ah, yeah, look at these stereotypes over here. Look at these guys just being wild and violent and dealing drugs. And what I see, as I see creators with an immense amount of entrepreneurial potential, but who have not yet discovered or been taught of a context where they're optimized to thrive.